Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So, baseball may be America's pastime, but classical music is China's. With anywhere from 30 to 50 million kids studying piano alone in China, the classics are a big deal. And the Chinese-born pianist Yuzhi Wang has made a rapid ascent from the minor leagues to the majors. In the past year, she earned a Grammy nomination for her debut recording on the prestigious Deutsche Grammophon label. She was named Young Artist of the Year by the recording Bible Grammophon, and she made her Carnegie Hall orchestral debut with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Her second album is out this month. It features music by Scarlatti, Stravinsky, and Brahms, and it brings Yuzhi Wang to our studios today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So a lot of people see China as the future of classical music, and there are some baseball people who see it as the future of baseball as well, I should say. Do you agree that it's, you know, that there's a real future for classical music there?
Yeah, I thought so from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then why leave China? Why did you move to Canada?
Well, it is Western music, and I do want to learn where the root is from and to go to Europe. And American has a lot of opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. And I was in Canada for a year, and I went to the awesome Curtis Institute of Music for 6 years. And yeah.
So the idea that to somehow, if you study Western music and you never leave China, that you're somehow missing something, the essence of it is
that's
here?
That's what they think in China back then. And now I think it's really doesn't matter where you are because everything is so globalized. And I did want to come to America just to live here.
So is it simply a matter of numbers that there are so many millions of people playing classical music there?
There are lots of people in China.
Right.
Yeah, and I think means like you said, music in China is like sports in America, which is very popular, and it's like a big honor to learn that since very young at school and everything. So
Now why does that happen there when it doesn't happen in the West where the music came from?
I think they're really curious about this music. They love the music. I think for some reason it speaks to their soul. I brought up listening to Western music. I don't even know how Chinese music sounds like.
Really?
Yes.
So it was in your house as a kid?
Yes, because my mom's a ballet dancer and my dad plays jazz, a percussionist. So that's all I hear. And it's, it's so prevalent everywhere. Yeah.
So was there jazz in the house too then?
Yeah. Well, my dad is, with his headphones all the time.
So would that be a problem for you when you first started playing the piano, going to the conservatory? Was there like a pressure to kind of play the way they tell you to play and forget that you had heard, you know, jazz pianists and things like
that?
It's
definitely very competitive and very, my teacher was very strict. I had the same teacher since 7 until 14. And they do have really, really high standards. I mean, you have to play like Argerich when at the age of 10 or something. So,
age of 10, you have to play like Marta Argerich.
Exactly. So they have that kind of standard. So if you are not, then you are not playing it well.
What about developing a sense of your own identity as
that
a musician?
I think that's something I learned when I came to this country. That's the freedom, the opinion that I formed later. Because when I was in China, I pretty much just did what my teacher told me is great to do. And it's very good guidance. I think at that age is the best thing to have a guidance like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you came here to actually develop that kind of personal identity.
Yeah.
What about the cultural? I mean, you grew up in China not knowing what Chinese music sounded like.
I heard it, but I don't really like it. Uh-huh. It's like, I think the Chinese music is like what Western people think of classical music because it's something ancient, something that doesn't really connect to the modern society, modern feelings, yeah.
So it's kind of an aspirational thing on the part of China to get away maybe from the old and the...
besides, I think the Cultural Revolution for 10 years, they were banned, the Western music, and there was so much talent back then. And I think other parents nowadays want their kids to, yeah.
Well, and you know, when that first generation of Chinese composers came west after the Cultural Revolution, we here in the States really reaped the benefits of that with people like Tan Dun and Bright Sheng and Zhou Long and Chen Yi.
Yeah.
Now, what about for musicians? You know, we've seen Long Long and Yun Di Li come, great pianists, and take the classical music world by storm. Mm-hmm. Have they set the stage for a similar thing with younger Chinese musicians coming west?
Oh, there's so many extraordinary talents in China right now. It's just millions of them. And I mean, having a career has more things to do than playing the piano. You have to have the charisma and stage presence and everything. So, yeah.
And how do you learn that?
I guess you're born with it.
Mm.
Or you're not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a depressing thing if you're not born with it.
No, I mean, I'm sure they can. I think by experience or everything. And I think with me, I just find playing the piano on stage so fun and I like it so much. So, yeah. So it seems to be easy.
Well, now you're still in your early 20s,
and 23.
You've been playing since you were seven.
Six.
Six. Okay, so you've been playing most of your life. You've been doing this a long time, and yet to us who haven't known you since you were six, it seems like you've just suddenly burst into the spotlight. You know? Do you feel like you're ready for the amount of attention you've gotten?
Oh, I'm totally ready. I feel like I've been there forever. I've been studying since six. Yeah, I mean, when I was in China, I already played a lot. And when I came to here alone, I feel like it's a second life or something without my parents. And I sort of had to start it over again to play concerts. And
so wait, you came here at age 14 without your parents?
Yeah, they're still in Beijing. Yeah, I went to Canada, had a guardian, legal guardian and host family.
Did you speak English at the time?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I Canada was like the year I tried to learn English, Canadian, and
we consider that English enough. That's amazing. So, how has your life changed in the last year with all of the attention that you've been getting?
Yeah, I certainly like that. It's just lots of traveling, lots of concertizing, lots of it's just busy. Yeah, and I think I expected this to happen anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about baseball earlier in the show, and I mentioned that you got Gramophone's Young Artist of the Year Award. That's basically classical music's version of the Rookie of the Year Award.
Right.
Now comes the hard part, you know, the sophomore effort. The second album is out, and it's called Transformation. What's the kind of theme there?
Well, it's the three major piece, Petrushka, which is Transformation of a Puppet, and Brahms' Paganini version, which is he transformed this Paganini theme 28 times. And then the last one is a really dark piece by Ravel Lavals, which is kind of like a transformation from the nice Viennese society to the turn of the century kind of nihilist
this
thing.
Waltz where everything falls apart
exactly,
at the end.
Yeah. And the Scarlatti in between is just kind of like the Ligeti in my first album for the pure function of contrast.
And what about, I mean, does it signal maybe a personal transformation with everything that's
definitely
gone on?
Definitely, yeah. I'm just really into this. I think everything in life is just so transitory. So the contingency of life really strikes me because of how I travel, how my life is formed. So, and I think life itself is about transformation. We're not getting better or worse. We're just transformed day by day.
Everything's
and being
different. We're speaking with Yuji Wang, the Chinese-born pianist, whose new album is out on April 13th. It's called Transformation. Now, you're going to play a pretty familiar piece by Mozart
here. Everyone knows that piece.
the Turkish March. This is on YouTube, right? I mean, we can see you, kind of a YouTube hit for you.
Yeah, I just love to play this piece. I always play as an encore, but it's kind of interesting for me to just talk to you and play right now.
All right, well, off you go
we'll
then.
See what happens.
Yuji Wang making her way over to our piano here live in the Soundcheck studio. This is the Turkish March by Mozart in a live performance here at 93.9 FM. Thank you. Wow. Yuja Wang, live at our piano, and the familiar Turkish March by Mozart. You mentioned you grew up with classical music and jazz in the house. I have to ask, after listening to that performance, do you listen to rock music too?
Definitely.
There's a little kind of rock and roll, you know, a little shredding going on there.
In
that.
Grooves, yeah.
So talking about transformation as the title of the new record, some transforming of the familiar Mozart theme going on there.
Yeah.
What was that, your own arrangement?
No, it's by this Russian pianist, Volodos.
Oh, Volodos.
Yeah, exactly.
So all the... I mean, the tune is there, but then there's all this other stuff that's going on as well.
Yeah, it's an amazing piece, yeah.
So as I mentioned before, you know, there's a YouTube clip of you playing that, but then there's a YouTube clip of you going all the way back to when you were a little kid.
I know.
What is it like to have your whole life's journey out there on YouTube?
I'm not looking at that little girl like myself. It's, I think that's what YouTube is doing. It's public, everyone's life. Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you?
I don't look, so it doesn't bother me.
And yet I understand you are a very plugged in person. You take your laptop everywhere, you're tweeting constantly. Mm-hmm. Is there a classical music audience for that kind of communication?
Definitely. I do Twitch, Facebook, and it seems... more and more, even with Deutsche Grammophon, they are on Facebook and everything. So it's really connected to Facebook, yeah.
And does that show up in the people who come to your concerts? I mean, do you look out and you say, oh, there's some people who might know what a tweet is or how to operate a Facebook page?
I think it's almost like everyone knows, and lots of people I'm meeting on Facebook first, and then they saw me on YouTube. So it's like this second electronic cyberspace that's really popular in classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like with Berlin Phil and New York Phil, everything is... their live concerts broadcast online. Those things are really, I think, make a difference, yeah.
So you're optimistic about being able to reach, you know, kind of younger listeners?
I'm very optimistic, yes.
How do you find the time to do all this Facebooking and tweeting and stuff?
When I'm waiting on the airplane.
I guess you have a lot of travel time, right?
Lots of time, yes.
3 days ago, you wrote, "Eating junk food at Hooters." Hooters?
With my boyfriend.
Hooters? Come on.
It wasn't my idea.
I'll bet. 21 days ago at the Jekyll and Hyde Club in New York. Was that the boyfriend's idea too? Or?
Yeah, well, that was interesting. That was, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
So we get a chance to, you know, kind of follow the arc of your story on YouTube. And then for folks who just have to know what you're eating and where, there's Twitter.
I'm a big food fan, yeah.
So now, do you have to worry about... I mean, you hope as a classical musician that you have a career like Horowitz, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
a long career that lasts for, you know, as long as you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to pace yourself at such an early age? Do you have to worry about burnout and stuff like that?
Definitely, yeah. This year is really heavy duty for me. I have 14 concertos and like 3 different recital programs and all that, besides the 2 recordings. So, but from next year on, I do have vacation times, and because everything is planned 2 years ahead, all the concerts, and I do have a lot to grow, and I need time to do that, because art is just like endless, to learn, of course.
Did you say 14 concertos this year?
Yeah.
That's a lot of different major...
My hard drive
major,
is a little cramped
I mean,
right
for,
now.
For folks who don't have to play piano concertos, I mean, you know, that's one piano concerto is a big deal to learn, to internalize.
Right.
To do 14 at once, how do you even do that?
I don't know. People say there's like 5 of me or something. It's
Has one of you been back to China recently?
Yes, actually, for the New Year concert. Yeah.
And what was that like?
It was really interesting. Well, the first time I went back was this concert was Luzern Festival and Abado, and I haven't been back since I left when I was 14. And everyone's expecting me like this little girl, and I came back 22, playing with this awesome orchestra. So that was quite cool. And then they have this really new concert hall, the Egg, they built during the Olympic, and everything there is so professional, very westernized. I just feel like I was in another country, not China for sure. And the piano's great, tuner's very, everything's very high level. Yeah,
it's a pretty amazing. I've been to the Egg. It's a pretty amazing place.
It's cool.
And it actually looks like half of an egg floating in this huge pond.
Right.
Right there in the middle of Beijing. It's like, you know, down the road from
And you're
Tiananmen
talking
Square.
About popularity because Abbado haven't been there for 37 years.
This Claudio Abbado, the conductor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like a sports center when he came out. The people just went crazy,
The thing that impressed me, I saw the New York Philharmonic at the Egg, was people outside scalping tickets to a classical music concert and successfully, you know, and people coming up and asking them for tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a sporting event.
Yeah.
All right, so that's to come back to where we started. The future of classical music in China, you know,
exactly.
Major entertainment. In the meantime, we're getting major entertainment from Yuja Wang here in our soundcheck studio with that live performance of the Mozart Turkish March. The new album is called Transformation. It comes out on April 13th on the prestigious Deutsche Grammophon label. Yuja, thank you so much for being with us
of
on
course.
Soundcheck today.
Yeah,
a real pleasure.
Nice to be here.
Ravel's La Valse, recorded by Yuja Wang. And that'll do it for today's show. Next time on Soundcheck, our Sound Off series on urban noise continues with a look at the psychological effects of a life without silence. And composer Missy Mazzoli and her chamber rock ensemble Victoire join us to play live. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was John Delore. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Daoud Tyler Amin. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau. We had help today from Jasmine Little and Martin Sulko. I'm John Schaefer.